What do we do with our prayer meetings? I don't know how those, just those words, prayer meetings, how that kind of, just how does that make you feel, prayer meetings? Is it, you know, exciting, boring, uplifting, depressing? It'd be interesting to know what the sort of word association, what the initial feeling is of church members when they hear those words, prayer meeting. Does that sort of excite them, bore them? Do they feel drawn, pushed away? Is it a duty or a delight, to use Jim Packer's book on prayer? Duty to delight, which is it? Or both? Let's pray. It'd be weird not to pray before we start talking about prayer meetings. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, He made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You are the Lord to whom Israel cried out to, the early church cried out to. Please be our helper now. Please, would we think rightly and feel rightly and act creatively and courageously to gather your people around your throne of grace and enjoy together that privilege of bringing our prayers as a pleasing incense before you, that you would act for your church and for your name among the nations. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So what does prayer have to do with church planting? This is not a theology of this at all, but just to say a few things. I was just surprised, just having another look through Acts, just how much of a connection there is between prayer and church and planting. And we know experientially they're connected, don't we? Yeah, you have a launch team meeting. What do? You pray. It's just kind of instinctive, isn't it? But you look through Acts and you find 33 references to prayer in Acts. So that's exactly the same number as references to the Word of God, the Word of God increased, preaching of the Word. 33 references to prayer in Acts. Roughly half of those are to private prayer and half to corporate prayer, which is interesting again. Acts chapter 1, you remember 120 believers, the apostles plus the women. These seem to be the women who've been following Jesus, funding the mission. So plus Mary, Jesus' brothers, and it says they all joined together constantly in prayer. Acts chapter 1, they all joined constantly together in prayer. Acts chapter 2, the first church plant, what are the marks of the first church plant? End of chapter 4, they devoted themselves, you know this, to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And then the end of that section, they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. Interesting, that connection there between eating and praying, which we might come back to. Acts chapter 4, you get the first crisis hits the church plants. The key leaders, Peter, John, in jail, on trial. Then they're released, they go back to the gathered church, and they report, get loads of reports in Acts. They report what's happened, and what's the response? The church raised their voices together in prayer to God. And Andrew Wilson's got a great talk on this chapter, and he just points out that Acts chapter 4, that prayer meeting, combines lots of things that you don't often see together in many churches. So in some ways it looks very reformed. It's full of scripture, it's full of deep theology. These are not sort of off the top of your head sort of mixed up strange kind of prayers. It's not just passion, there's scripture, there's theology, but also it's got the passion and the expectancy and the powerful work of the Spirit that you'd expect to see perhaps in Pentecostal churches. And you get both those things. Acts chapter 12, another crisis. Peter is in jail again. This time it looks like he really is going to have his head chopped off this time, because James, that's just happened to him. And what is happening at Mary's house, John Mark's mother, in her house, many people have gathered and were praying in response to that crisis, praying fervently together. Acts chapter 13, prayer and fasting at the commissioning of Paul and Barnabas for the first round of church planting mission. Acts chapter 14, they're on their way back from that first missionary journey. They go back through all the churches they've planted, strengthening them, appointing elders for each church, again, with prayer and fasting. Acts chapter 16, the church plant starts in Philippi, at the place of prayer, interestingly. At the place of prayer. That's where the church plant starts. And then later in that chapter, Paul and Silas are in prison having a late night prayer meeting. In prison, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Acts chapter 20, we've mentioned before, the Ephesian elders kneeling, praying, weeping, embracing together. And just to chuck in another one, it doesn't actually use the word pray, but Acts chapter 21, Paul gets to Rome and verse 19, Paul greeted and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard this, they praised God. There's a report, there's praise. I think already, just quickly whistling through there.
She says 21.
Yeah, Acts chapter 21, I think. I think verse 19, 20. Check that. But I think already that's suggestive of some of the things that we can come back to. Is that Jerusalem?
Jerusalem.
Sorry. It's not the report at the end of Acts. Jerusalem. Thank you. Tom Rayner, in that book, the Post-Quarantine Church, he talks about why have churches, many churches, not all, but many churches seem to have seen a growth in their prayer meetings, a sort of reinvigorating of their prayer meetings during the pandemic. Why is that? It's just a few reasons. One is that crisis. So when you saw that in Acts, didn't you? Prayer in response to crisis, especially the first lockdown, real sense of like, what is going on here? Real crisis. God's people to come together and pray. Also an instinctive thing, really. And also the humbling that we talked about last week, an increased sense of dependency on God. We pray because we're actually starting to realise we really, really need him. Availability. So, I mean, just pragmatically in lockdowns, there's not a lot to do in the evening. You know, a lot of the excuses, you notice, kind of like, you know, are not there. So there's the availability, but also accessibility. Zoom, I think many of us said that, you know, Zoom is where we went for prayer meetings in lockdown, especially for parents with small children. You know, they can both be there, perhaps for the first time. Older people who weren't able to get out in the evening can be there. And also this lockdown, particularly the first lockdown, meant enforced prayer walking. I think what he means by that is there's the sense in which you wanted to meet up with a Christian friend or something to pray together. And there was that point you couldn't even do that in a house. You had to go for a walk around the streets or walk around the park. And even if some of us are not kind of instinctive prayer walkers, we haven't come from that tradition, we found we were doing that. And there was a sense in which that kind of perhaps opened up new ways of thinking about praying together. So maybe there are some things there that we can learn from and carry forward. Not all of them, but some of them. So what can we do to boost our prayer meetings in the new normal? There's a few things to... I'm picking some of this stuff up from the things that you contributed in that survey. Thank you for those who did that link to that survey and picking up those. But please do chuck in other stuff that comes up under these headings. I'm just going to go three headings of frame format. The frame is, how is it set up? Format is, what's in it and how is it structured and why? And feel is kind of the culture of the meeting. How does it actually feel to be at that prayer meeting? So frame, you can put the where, when, what, who, why, that kind of stuff. When, regularity. So I think most of you who filled in that survey, it seemed like regularity for quite a few people increased during lockdown. So some who've been doing sort of quarterly went to monthly, monthly went to weekly, or fortnightly, you know, fortnightly went to weekly. And it seems like a number of you are thinking of maintaining perhaps at least a slightly increased regularity. We could talk about that. In terms of time, that's, you know, when exactly do you do it? I mean, I think most of us kind of default to an evening, midweek evening, but, you know, clearly that's not the only time you could meet. We could talk about it that a bit later. It's a cultural thing in many ways, isn't it? I think I mentioned the other day that Korean churches often would have a culture of very early morning prayer meeting. A lot of Kenyan churches would do late night, all through the night perhaps, which, you know, a bit of a Philippi type prison midnight prayer meeting thing. In terms of length, it seems like most of you are kind of going for, have church prayer meetings of sort of 60 minutes plus, 60 to 90 minutes. But actually quite a good range. I was quite surprised that I think you had every point in that range. So all the way from kind of less than 30 minutes through to more than 90 minutes. I wonder if just now, maybe kind of, it'd be interesting to hear both those ends of the spectrum. Maybe someone contribute who sort of has either now or during lockdown gone for like a really short, punchy prayer meeting, like a really short one, less than 30 minutes. And also be interesting to hear from someone who has tried something sort of beyond 90 minutes as well. Anyone on screen or in the room on that kind of shorter prayer meeting? This is not a name or shame. You can own up to this.
Andy.
Yeah.
I meet with one guy every week at 10 o'clock on a Friday for like 15 minutes of like power prayer, but it's specifically just about the plant.
Is that evening or morning?
That's at 10 o'clock on Friday morning. Every he's German as well, so you can't be late.
Okay. Great. So just to kind of focus 15 minutes. One-to-one on the plants. Yeah, great. I think some people mentioned kind of elders prayer meetings, team meetings, that might be sort of towards that shorter scale, something a bit punchy. Anyone go for a longer? You know, anyone found themselves actually kind of going longer during lockdown, having a longer prayer meeting? Sergei, do you want
to? No. We resume our prayer meeting every other Friday for two and a half hours.
So Sergei was just saying 2.5 hours,
yeah,
for prayer meeting.
Yeah.
Is that weekly, did you say, or fortnightly?
Every other Friday.
Fortnightly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Twice a month.
Okay, in the evening?
Yes. Yeah.
Two and a half hours.
From 6 to 8:13.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Lunch team.
And has that always been the case, or have you sort of got a bit longer as you've gone through, or did it get longer at some point? It's generally been that long.
Yeah.
And would that be normal in Ukrainian churches? Would people expect a prayer meeting of that length?
Yeah. Thank you.
So certain people would assume Christians will pray for 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Because we decided to have some food for people and to have a lot. Dinner together for 30 minutes, and after that we'll pray together for 2 hours.
That's great. We could talk a bit about elements that come into this in a minute, but that's helpful. So you have 30 minutes of eating together, fellowship, and then a couple of hours more of prayer. Great. I mean, it's just good to sort of expand our thinking, isn't it? It is possible to do things differently. In terms of where we do it, I think, again, you had all those different options. Zoom, everyone was on Zoom, certainly in lockdown, and one or two considering continuing on that in a particular home, perhaps particularly if you're a small plant or launch team at the moment, in a building if you have one. I was interested, some of the other, I don't know whether they have a prayer meeting under a tree or kind of outside or kind of, do you have an other?
We did outdoors when we were allowed to meet in smaller groups, but outside. So some of them were like in back gardens, but then others were just in parks.
Yeah. So that was during lockdown. You were in a park or garden.
Yeah.
Anyone thinking of doing an other kind of venue at the moment or going forward? It's good to think outside the box. Okay. That's helpful. Who, I mean, it kind of flows a bit from where and when, doesn't it? Particularly when, but I guess it's just worth kind of just considering what are we assuming here, or who are we targeting? Who are we getting? Who is actually this for? Is it for adult members, basically? Okay, that's fine. Is it open to and accessible to parents? To both parents, you just think of one parent coming or both? Is it accessible to older people, to younger people? Do you want your youth coming to it? know that's something that some churches have thought, you know, do we have, particularly the older youth, do we encourage them to be there? Even children, again, it's a time of day thing to a large extent. But who is this for? Who do we think is going to be helpfully there praying together? Obviously, the who could be a bit different if it's an elders meeting or a team meeting, or it's a sports meeting. I know you've been thinking of sports players and stuff. Do you want to say anything about that?
Well, we used to get together people who were involved in the world of sport to pray, that would play for God's glory, and pray for opportunities to evangelize teammates. And we stopped for a long time, and we restarted on Zoom because Zoom's a good option for that. So we had our first one Tuesday morning on Zoom just to get together to pray. Mm.
That's just technology.
Great. And I guess another one is a why. And it's always good to just keep coming back to this sign up kind of why thing, isn't it? Why are we actually doing this? And there could be a different whys for different things, couldn't it? I mean, why are we doing a monthly meeting? If a monthly is what you're doing, or fortnightly, why are we doing that? Okay, we think it's, we want to be devoted to prayer. We think that's a mark of the church. We need God's help. Okay, we're doing this for, are we particularly praying for the establishing of our church, for growth? Are we praying for unbelievers? You know, what is it? Why are we doing this? Also, I mean, you've seen from that, just run through Acts, a why could be a crisis situation. You know, we could have a regular kind of thing, of a monthly thing, or whatever it is, but then do we have that kind of flexibility to, yeah, we can convene something really quickly in a crisis with a particular purpose? Actually, someone has been arrested in the church. I mean, we've got our church is kind of partnered with a church in Belarus, where, you know, people might get actually taken off into prison. And, you know, they would certainly gather as a church to pray for those people. Maybe we should be praying for them as well. We might gather as a prayer meeting to hear a special report. You think of Paul's kind of, he has a missionary journey, he comes back to report that. Now, that might be something you can incorporate into a regular prayer meeting, but it could be like, this is a really serious partnership. You know, you've sent someone off and they've been off for a number of years and they've come back, and this is a bit of a, this does not happen very often. They've come back and we really want to gather specifically to hear this person, what has God been doing through their ministry, and to pray particularly for them. It could be a Thanksgiving. I know a number of churches have been thinking of a sort of prayer meetings and give thanks for, you know, bringing us through COVID or whatever it might be. Thanksgiving for anniversary of our church or getting to a point of launch. Commissioning, you see that in Acts as well, don't you? Commissioning, people sending them off in mission, or commissioning them as elders, deacons, whatever it might be within the church. Or you might have, as Pete mentioned, the why might be a specific mission field of sports or the workplace, or might be pray for the persecuted church or for the Muslim world, or pray during Ramadan, whatever it might be. So anyone want to kind of come back or throw in some other ideas, particularly on that kind of issue of the kind of how we set this up in terms of the frame, the when, where, who, why? We can chuck it in later. Let's crack on then you can throw in more later. This is kind of now getting into the nitty gritty of what is in the meeting. And again, I think your kind of feedback was that loads of these different elements were in there to different extents. I think everybody had some sort of Bible talk. Almost everyone had song in there. A few had the Lord's Supper, or a meal, which is, I mean, it's a different thing, isn't it? You could, I think you have a meal. I doubt you'd, would you not call it the Lord's Supper, or would you have Lord's Supper in there as well? Or it's just a meal.
Yeah.
I think Barry's done that as well.
And some people bring something from different sources.
It's a bring and share meal. Yeah.
One Corinthians called a love feast.
And yet you have the breaking of bread a number of times in Acts, and sometimes you're not quite sure, is this the Lord's Supper, or is it just the fellowship meal together?
One of the reasons why we don't have a supper together, because some people go to our home for prayer meeting, not all of us. Usually we have supper on Sunday.
Lord's
more
supper.
People
yeah.
Lord's Supper, yeah.
Yeah.
Because some people, sure. More people go
yeah.
Sunday yeah. Worship.
Sure. Some prayer meetings might involve some kind of news, so a bit of a stop. But you know, this is a bit of update on the church, which is kind of then prompts for prayer. But we're giving some news that you might not hear in the main Sunday meeting. Interviews, either live or on Zoom, perhaps from a mission partner or someone who's in a particular ministry in the church or perhaps in the workplace. Hear about that. A combination of small group prayer, maybe ones and twos and threes and fives, corporate prayer, we all stay together, we pray together, testimonies. I thought it was a fresh one. I don't think perhaps I've seen a huge amount of that, but you think actually that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? In terms of praying with thanksgiving, wouldn't it be great to hear about how prayers have been answered and testimonies of how prayers have been answered and give thanks for those things? Now, interestingly, you know, why are those things there? We don't want to just stuff loads of things in. I think they come into different categories, aren't they? Some of those things are fuel for prayer. So you think probably the Bible talk hopefully is aligning us with what God wants, the prayers God wants to answer, making our prayers biblical, giving us a thrust. A fuel for prayer. The interviews are probably giving us fuel for prayer, the news. And some of them are actually prayer. So, you know, the corporate prayer, small group prayer. Also, singing. The singing could be prayer. I think Calvin talks about, he just sees singing as a subdivision of prayer. Now, I mean, some songs are more kind of to God, some are more to one another. But, you know, that could be, that certainly overlaps with prayer. I wonder whether some elements, I don't know how you feel about this, but some elements of a prayer meeting, I think probably are there as a bit of a draw to the prayer meeting. And I don't know how legitimate you feel that is, but what I mean by that is the, you know, a meal in some ways is good to have that kind of fellowship together. But it's a bit of a draw, isn't it? It's like, actually, this is not just going to be go hard work and pray, go home again. But actually, you're going to fellowship with believers while you're there. You're going to, even the singing sometimes is a bit of a draw. News can be a bit of a draw. So I think I've seen that at prayer meetings used where come to the prayer meeting and the subtext is, and you'll hear some news about the church that you wouldn't actually hear in the Sunday meeting. You get a bit of an inside track. So if you really want to know what's going on, come to the prayer meeting. Now it's a little slightly, it's kind of how it works, isn't it? It's a little bit sly, perhaps, but I think that you've got to be honest. That's why some of those elements are in there. Are there other elements, though, that people want to throw in or that they've seen usefully used or something they want to take out of there and say they shouldn't be in a prayer meeting, some that you want to put in?
Oh, Andy, Mark here. Hi.
Yeah.
Hi. Well, in our church, we organize during the year a couple of weeks of praying. So we call it the week of praying. And then we pray about 35 hours during the week in groups of five people. So we have around 25 to 30 people who will pray about an hour or an hour and a half. And for inspiration, there we hang off on the wall. There are small notes with inspirational praying assignments. So pray for the city, pray for the church, pray for your own dreams, pray for somebody next to you. So Well, yeah, just the week of the praying. That's what we do in Rotterdam.
Yeah, seven days, 5 hours a day.
So it's groups of five. How long is each group praying for, you said?
Well, it's around 1 hour, 1 hour and a half.
Okay. And then they rotate the memories from one group, yeah, group to another group?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And I think one of the things that Tom Rainey was pointing out is that you want to have a regularity to prayer, but also it's okay to have a push, in a sense, at a particular time, a season, you might call it. Or in some ways, I guess, the evangelism and mission, we want there to be kind of be a regular thing that is just kind of natural. But then there does make a sense in which we're going to have a particular push at this particular time of year, and that's okay. And thank you. Yes, we'll come on to that. A really helpful thing in terms of how you prompt people to pray as well. In terms of how does it flow, I think what I had in mind here was you don't want just a, it's like any meeting, isn't it? And particularly any gathering of Christians, you don't want there to be just a jumble of elements where it's like, which is randomly put together. You want a flow, and presumably the main flow is from Bible to prayer, isn't it? We want to hear from God and then respond to him. That seems to be the dynamic of, you see all the way through the Bible, God speaks and we respond in light of what he said. Some people would use the idea of the Acts thing, the adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication as a bit of a framework to give some flow. It's interesting, confession, I think, is one of those things that perhaps in some of our circles might be the one that kind of drops out a bit. Some people, if you are comfortable with some sort of more traditional liturgy, might use that. I've got a friend who is planting an AMIE church on the south coast of England, and during lockdown he used a sort of adapted morning prayer. So it's basically taken from the 1662 morning prayer liturgy, really stripping that down a bit more, but using some of the flavour of that order and liturgy. And they did a sort of a Zoom prayer meeting every Thursday morning, I think it was. And I can share with you the outline that he did, but I think it was really helpful. And he said actually giving people quite a clear framework really worked online. Tee people up ahead of time. Okay, can you read this passage of scripture? Can you pray this prayer? Can you do this bit? Then we're going to have three chunks looking at different things. But using a bit of bit of that liturgy, he found was helpful. Other people, I mean, quite a common one is the praying for leaders in a 1 Timothy 2 kind of way, praying for church mission in a Colossians 4 kind of way, and then praying for one another. I mean, that's sometimes how it's done, isn't it? Pray for the world and our leaders, pray for church mission, pray for one another. But having some kind of structure, some kind of flow to it that makes sense, does seem to be helpful. How much preparation are we going to ask? Are we going to be doing for this? How spontaneous is it going to be, or how much is it going to be set up beforehand? A few people mentioned the benefit of asking people beforehand to prepare a prayer, to prepare a report to bring, to really well prep an interview that's going to happen, and that can be helpful. But where are you going to put yourself in terms of how much preparation are you going to do for this? How spontaneous are you happy for it to be? And partly that would be a function of the size of the group, but preparation is always helpful, isn't it? How do you gather prayer content, either before the meeting or during the meeting? Sometimes people do this kind of spontaneously, but or the leader might take a strong lead and say, I'm going to set the agenda of what we're going to pray for. But different people do different things. I think a number of people have suggested, sourcing prayer requests basically from the church family through social media, through WhatsApp group, that sort of thing. I think, Sergey, you've used a kind of WhatsApp group for prayer requests and that sort of thing within the church family, is that right?
Yeah.
But also another one for people who are not actually part of the church or not members yet, a sort of a wider WhatsApp group, perhaps.
Usually, one man from Belarus, right? Very interesting.
Do you want to shout out here?
Yeah. One man from Belarus who joined us last one month. Yeah. He asked us about prayer meeting, and it was a very good idea. And we decided to invite people who would join us. But usually people with Christian background join us. Yeah, because our doors are open for everybody, but usually people join for prayer meeting Christian people. And last time we gathered around 7 adults and some kids for prayer meeting. It's very good for us.
Any other ways that people kind of sourced prayer requests from people? I mean, you'd probably want to be in touch with mission partners and that sort of thing. If you're going to pray for them, what exactly can we pray for you? So people have used kind of Slido and all these kind of things to get prayer requests, perhaps even during the meeting. And you can just ask people to pray spontaneously. Has anyone used those kind of tools to get prayer requests?
It's interesting that there is a spectrum, isn't there, between the overly controlled prayers where the agenda is absolutely set. Yeah. Here's the news, let's pray. Mm-hmm. To the spontaneous, no preparation, just come, we're just going to pray. And and it's interesting where we sit on that and where, not just where we sit, but when we sit on those things. Mm-hmm. And actually, is there provision for a variety? Because I think the same old, same old does get weary. I think both in terms of being there, but also in terms of preparation. I remember, when you've been running a church prayer meeting the same way every month for 15 years in a church, it's just, boy, does that need freshening up, and probably one would imagine.
Yes, absolutely.
I have a question on that. How do you, so to make those changes, how often do you do that? So, because I've changed, so I've been at our church for a year now, and I've kind of changed the format flow twice now. I haven't really received any feedback negatively or positively, but so how do you as a leader know when to sort of, okay, this is starting to get same old, same old.
Yeah.
How do we change?
I think I love my response to a prayer meeting, I always find is quite telling. And I think sometimes as a leader, the concept of a prayer meeting is great. I like praying with others. The work that you do beforehand to get to the prayer meeting, thinking, I'm going to have to spend an hour preparing something before I then get to pray. And that's a bit of a joy killer for me sometimes. And I think it something comes down to what you're trying to do and how much control you want of it. So I think, I don't know what the answer to your question is, other than to say, where I've got to do stuff beforehand, that always slightly robs me of the joy that otherwise might be there, of being there. But in that sense, I find it quite, I don't struggle to work out what to pray for. Whereas new believers, it's a concession that I guess to new believers who want a bit of structure, who want a bit of a steer, that kind of thing.
In terms of how we present prompts to pray, prayer points, whatever you want to call them, I think there's a bit of there is some creativity available there. It could be a PowerPoint. Doesn't have to be a PowerPoint. It could be printed. It could be, as Mark was pointing out, a sort of post-it notes on a wall that are prompts to pray. It could be on an app. It could be a video presentation which prompts people. There are different ways to do that. I think, again, it's one of those things that we can freshen up a bit. And then I guess the final question to ask on that particular one is, you know, how much are we actually praying?
Yeah.
And I find this is the really, this does, yeah, it's personally something that I kind of find that I kind of convicted of, but also kind of, you know, we're calling this a prayer meeting. We've been there for whatever it is, 90 minutes, 2 hours. How much of that time have we actually been praying? I kind of feel a responsibility if I'm leading a prayer meeting to like actually get people praying and shut up and not talk myself. That's my hope anyway. I'm sure I don't do that a lot of the time. But it was interesting looking at your responses. It seemed that a number of people had been found that the proportion had increased a bit during the pandemic. I don't know whether that's because Zoom, slightly more stripped down format, we don't have a meal perhaps. There's some things that don't happen. So, but I think most of us, if we're honest, it did seem like we're talking 25 to 50% is really, you know, realistically. So we just have to be honest with ourselves that, we did really well. We kind of prayed for 2 hours as a church, really? Or did we actually pray for like 25 minutes, really? But it does seem like it's increased a bit, and it seems like a number of us would want that to kind of continue and want that sort of percentage to be continuing. And then finally, the thing of feel. I think we're talking about culture here. And I think prayer meetings are one of the most culturally embedded, one of the most culturally varied bits of church life. You kind of think, what do we actually mean by church culture and kind of how they're different? Sometimes it's a bit hard to get a grip on that, but you go to a prayer meeting, you're like, particularly in a different country, different culture, and you're like, oh, this is really different. Now I'm feeling really quite uncomfortable. If you've ever been to a prayer meeting where it's just a totally different style of praying, and you feel really like, oh, this is, I don't really like this. I find this really hard. I think prayer is something that we learn by imitation. It's one of those things you learn by seeing it. It's one of those things that becomes very deeply embedded. And so it's actually one of the slowest things to change. You often see someone come from one church background to another church background. They'll get the kind of, this is a kind of shorthand way of talking about it, but they'll kind of get the theology before they get the kind of prayer, if that makes sense. I don't know if you've noticed that. They're kind of, perhaps they might have come from this church background, they might start understanding the Bible in a new, fresh way, but the way that they pray might still be how they used to pray, and that might take a long time to catch up. So I think in prayer meetings, it's just perhaps one of the biggest dangers of barriers, of offence, of excluding people. So part of this is the mechanics, which we've already talked about, the when do you meet? As I said, it's a very cultural kind of way of doing things. Where do you meet? How do you actually pray? It's came home to me, particularly when I'd only been back from Kenya for a while, and we went to a Christian conference, prayer meeting in the evening, and I was just struck by how we had, part of it was the percentage of prayer in this prayer meeting was small. We're talking like 5 to 10%, I would have thought. And really, it was like, good presentations, really exciting stuff. And then it was like, turn to two or three people around you and pray for these things. And literally, we probably only got like 90 seconds, 2 minutes to pray. And I remember feeling like, oh, I think now it wouldn't hit me so much. But then, because I just come from we have some serious time praying, I'd be like, whoa, what is that? It's like, we're hardly even starting to get into anything. And the next thing, like right back into your small groups to pray. Oh, just purely that length of time praying. It's just like, oh, I find that really hard.
I think it's really interesting at the prayer meeting for the London Gospel Partnership before we went into lockdown. That was meant to be a kind of all the cultures coming together. Mm. And I thought you could not have designed a more white middle class way that happened. It was kind of, it was an hour split into four with a different person standing up, giving us 10 minutes of stuff, followed by 5 minutes of prayer. And I just thought, for example, the African heritage brothers in the room, they were just must have been pulling their heads out thinking, we just come to a business meeting. Mm. And it's just, I just thought, wow, whoever planned that, they did it the way they did it, and they really got that wrong in terms of the sort of cultural breadth. And it was a real shame.
And even within that 5 minutes, I think it's sort of like, spend a couple of minutes just introducing yourself. Yeah. Just who's in the room. So you've actually only got three. Yeah, it's So I guess it's partly just that length of time praying. There's no right answer on that. It's just to be aware that is a cultural thing. Then the thing I was talking about the other day about whether you pray to pray in a small group with sort of 4, 5, 6 other people, and to take turns and all say amen at the end. That is a particular form of prayer, which I think is biblical. And I think, you know, you could argue from 1 Corinthians 14 that we want intelligibility so we can all say amen. There does seem to be something of that. But that is not the only way to pray. And it is really a very specifically Western tradition way of praying. And you've got to be quite confident, articulate, willing to pray out loud in front of other people, a lot of traditions, the culture is you all pray at the same time out loud. And I totally did my head in the first time I was in those, well, for the first 5 times I was in that environment, I can't even hear myself think, but you do get into it, and people pray at the same time, and then one person sort of brings it together and prays even louder. The thing of kind of physicality, just, have we had a prayer meeting where people are moving around praying? I don't know if you've had that sort of thing. So we're not just sat in a chair. We're in a space. Why don't we move around and pray as we're moving around? That kind of mixes things up a bit. Again, unsettles us if we haven't done that. But also, it is quite unsettling if you're used to that, and then you come and it's like, oh, we have to be rooted to our seat the whole time. Why is that, you know? Certainly in Jewish culture, you'd stand up to pray. Why are we sitting down? It's just these things are very cultural. My dad grew up in non-conformist churches, and he used to talk about the non-conformist crouch. It was like a particular position of kind of one knee forward, one knee back, and you're kind of like this, kind of like there's a particular crouch that you would do to pray. And even just kind of the volume of prayer meetings. Some traditions, prayer meetings are just quiet, so like this, we just pray like this. And others, there's a bit of volume, there's a bit of noise, we're kind of like passionately, we care about what we're saying. We're crying out to God, you know, with loud cries, and you know, we don't just just to be aware of that, and perhaps bringing in one or two of those things. Not, you obviously don't want to kind of bring in all of that stuff all in one go, but maybe every so often, if we want to do a bit of refreshing, maybe just one of those elements could acknowledge a different culture and help all of us to just think in a slightly different way. Okay, yeah. In terms of hosting, I mean, what I mean by that is the kind of leadership, the tone that's set by the person who's leading it through. That can make a big difference as well. So just the tone of saying whether there's a, I mean, I remember reading one of these kind of 31:8 reports, whatever it is, you know, about a climate of fear in prayer meetings. And I've been in some of these prayer meetings, and there's that kind of there's a way of at the control end of the spectrum that this is like, this is the right way to pray, this is the wrong way to pray. You better not pray wrong, okay? Like in this situation, what accuracy we were talking about earlier, it's got to be accurate. If your prayers are theologically incorrect, yeah, we might have to take you outside. But also, they've got to be short, they've got to be punctual, they've got to be punchy, they've got to be, you know, to the point, don't waffle, you know, and it's like, who's going to pray in that situation? Well, probably about 5 people who really know how to do that.
And then everyone starts the scripture.
Exactly. And there's, you know, different. You know, so there's
it looks like business meeting.
Yeah. And it's kind of, again, it's partly like Perks was saying, so there's this chaos control spectrum, isn't it? At one end of the spectrum, you've got chaos and everyone just doing their own thing and just praying kind of ridiculous prayers that don't make any sense and like, you know, and just talking about, you know, that's not helpful. We want some structure. We want some guidance. We want to help, you know, model good practice. But then at the other end is like extreme control, where it's like, you know, you do end up with a climate of fear. And we want people to be free to pray. We want to, I think one of the things that I want to do in leading prayer meetings is lower the bar all the time. Not in a kind of, you obviously don't want to lower the bar theologically and everything, but really want to kind of say, look, the sort of prayer that my, you know, one of my children could pray is fine. That is a good prayer. That might actually be more sincere, more helpful than some, you know, clever prayer with lots of long words. Lower the bar. You know, we want to speak normally. We want to just, if we fumble or hesitate or anything, fine. If someone prays and, you know, wanders about and loses their, it's okay. The gender thing is just to throw in that there is that issue, as we talk about prayer meetings, of how are men and women involved in praying. I mean, it does seem like prayer meetings are a great opportunity to model a healthy complementarianism, because I mean, you know, women praying in a corporate gathering is affirmed in scripture. You know, that is something that we want. So it's a great opportunity for women to be involved. But at the same time, there's people talk about sort of prayer meetings where there's only women there, you know, only the women are praying. And so, you know, and Paul obviously in 1 Timothy is encouraging the men to pray with uplifted hands and holy hands. So I don't think the thermostat thing is very helpful. You know, people talk about the thermostat of like can be turned very feminine or very masculine and stuff. And yeah, I kind of get what they're talking about there. You can have a meeting, a church meeting, which does sort of seem to be very kind of blokey or kind of very kind of feminized. But I don't think that kind of that thermostat thing suggests that you've got to kind of find some kind of middle-y temperature kind of here.
Just kind of
some androgyny that kind of pleases everyone, kind of is neither one thing or the other. Whereas actually we want both, don't we? We want to kind of combine all those things. We want everybody to be involved. We want men and women up there presenting, giving prayer requests, praying. We want there to be a sort of a punchiness and an ambition and excitement and to the whole thing, and a sort of a concern, empathy, and weeping with those who weep and all that kind of stuff as well. So we want kind of both to be fully involved. I mean, in terms of what to read on this, I've just increasingly found that 1 Corinthians, those chapters there, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, they've got loads of stuff on prayer meetings, really. They're not about prayer meetings, but there's just loads of stuff there. If you read that through thinking prayer meetings, loads of helpful stuff. You know, chapter 11, women praying. It's got the Lord's Supper there. If you want to have your love feast or Lord's Supper there, you've got chapter 11, chapter 12, you've got the body. We want that sense in our prayer meetings, a culture of being one body, respecting different and appreciating the contributions of different parts of the body. Also that thing of, you know, one part of the body suffers, the other parts are hurt and sort of suffer with it. And so we want that kind of tone to be coming across in our prayer meetings. Chapter 13, love. We're just praying loads of fantastic prayers without love. That's like a clanging cymbal. Chapter 14, that idea of, yeah, some right order and structure and intelligibility and understanding what we're saying so we can say amen to one another. Then chapter 15, we want it all centered on the gospel. That's the main thing we want to be pulsing through and to be governing everything. So I found those helpful chapters. What is one thing? Maybe just kind of, again, turn to the person next to you know, or in threes or fours, or I might put you guys into a breakout room so you're all together. But feel free to kind of walk around and shout while you're doing this. But what might be one thing that you want to take away from this, and maybe just think a bit more in that area, or try something, or just add in another element, rethink things a little bit, just to refresh and to boost up. Great. It'd be right to pray together, wouldn't it? Let's just pray as we close now. Lord God, we don't want just a reputation for prayer. We want the actual reality of that. We want genuine sincere, earnest lifting of our voices together to you. And Lord, please help us to lead your people in prayer. We pray that your house, your church would be a house of prayer for all nations, that we would be able to, where we've maybe got stuck in a particular style that's not necessarily the most helpful or could do with a bit of refreshing, Lord, please help us to think creatively and wisely about where we can tweak things, Lord. But we pray most of all that you would bless us with a spirit of dependency and prayerfulness and a concern to not just be talking about prayer or just hearing prayer requests, but actually lifting those things up to you. And we thank you for how often we have had that experience of going home from prayer meetings that we really didn't want to be at, we didn't want to lead, and then actually go home feeling like we were really, really glad we were there. And we pray that would be the case, not just for us, but for all those in our church family, who'd be able to be there and be refreshed, knowing that they've been heard by you and that you've given them things to pray for that you want to answer. So commit that whole area to you. Thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you for the guys online. And thank you for what we're about to receive now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Great to see. There's a bigger contingent online than offline. So great to see you guys, and see you in a few weeks' time.